Tell us a miracle you've had, Sharon.
I've been blessed. I've had a lot of miracles. The one that startled me the most was when I was driving. It was late, and I was driving through New York City, and the roads were fairly vacated. And all of a sudden, you know how teenagers get in and they use the roads for a raceway? Mm-hmm. And these guys came through, and I thought, and I called on God really fast, and I said, I'm going to crash, because I had to move to the other lane. And I thought, I'm going to crash. I'm going, you know, 80 miles an hour. And I was driving a Volkswagen van that has to sit with all four tires on the road. And my van turned on its side, went on two tires, wow, and went around all the problems that were now in front of me. and then it went around on two sides, and then it sat down on a safe place, and I was out of danger. And I know there's no way that van could have done that, or I could have done that driving that van, and I had called on help, and literally Spirit took over the wheels, and I was safe. Of course, afterwards, I was so shaken, I had to get off the freeway and park and just shake. But anyway, it was a total miracle there. And then another time in the car, when I came around on a corner in Virginia after coming out of the Monroe Institute, and I came around on a corner, and a car came this way, and I said, there's no way I could brake and miss that car, and I called on help. And it was like that car was in one dimension, and I was in another dimension, and we went through each other. And wow. And that was just amazing special to me.
You went through each other?
We went through each other.
Wow.
Because we were at the same space at the same time, and we ended up on other sides, and we both stopped there, realizing that we had just literally gone through each other.
Did you talk to them after that?
Yes.
Are you okay? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but we weren't okay upstairs.
Are we alive?
In our heads anymore. We weren't okay. But anyway.
Yeah, the funny thing happened to me. That reminds me of a... Reminds me of an unusual event that happened to me. I was driving home one time from Boise. I used to live in New Plymouth and work in Boise. It's a 50-mile drive every day. I was driving home. I was right around the Napa area. And I was singing a song, just happy as a lark, and just singing away, nothing else to do. And all of a sudden, about 30 to 40 seconds or so was just taken from my life. And I didn't fall asleep, but just 30, 40 seconds was taken from my life. And 1 minute, I was driving down the road singing. The next second, I was off the road, headed for a stone overpass. And I was going about 70 miles an hour. And you know the overpasses that are built over the freeways, made of concrete. And on each side, they're great stone pillars and everything. I mean, you run into them at 70 miles an hour, you're completely gone. And I saw that I was about, 1 stone's throw away from that running right smack dab into the pillar right in front of me. And fortunately, in a circumstance like that, your mind operates on hyperspeed. And within about a half a second, several things went through my mind, and I thought, it's amazing I was able to think this and within less than a second. But I thought, you know, all the driver's manuals tell you not to drive, if you go off the road, not to drive onto the gravel because it's dangerous. I thought, but that's my only alternative. If I don't drive into the gravel and back on the road, then I will just die. So I have no choice. I have to go contrary to what the driver's manual says and drive into the, because I was pretty much into the grass there, and I had to drive into the gravel and then from the gravel back in the freeway. And who knows what I would discover when I got on the freeway, because it was rush hour. You know, so the chances of hitting a car was about 90%. I thought, I only have one choice, to drive back onto the road. So I drove back on, and when I hit that gravel, I found out why the driver's manuals tell you to avoid hitting the gravel. They say, if you drive off the road, don't drive back on the gravel, but just put on the brakes and come to a stop. Well, I couldn't do that because I was headed toward that concrete pillar. So I drove on the gravel, and like I say, I immediately find out why you're not supposed to do that. I hit that gravel, and the car went into a spin. And it was spinning around about 100 miles an hour. And then I hit the freeway, and it continued to spin. And fortunately, when I hit the freeway, there was no car there, thank God. But I just spun around on the freeway, and as I was spinning, I thought, this is going to be a totally bad accident, and I'm probably going to be paraplegic the rest of my life, or dead still. And then I headed toward the underpass. And as I headed toward the underpass, I thought, wow, I have nowhere to go because I thought, well, the spinning is getting a little less. Maybe I'm just going to have just a bad accident. And so I spun toward one side of the road, just about hit the concrete, and then started going to the other side of the road. And the car waved back and forth from one end of the freeway to the other. And then I got right through the underpass. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm just going to total my car and survive. And then all of a sudden, the car goes vroom, and it turned around. And I was going about 20, 30 miles an hour the other direction. And I pulled off the road and stopped. You know, I just sat there for about 10 minutes, breathing a sigh of relief. But I hope that never happens again. This 30, 40 seconds just gone. I don't know if aliens zapped me or what happened. I never did figure it out. But anyway, I think if you have a mission in life, something important to do, that you people look over you and will protect you. And I often felt that, and Artie keeps saying, the way you drive, you must have a guardian angel or you wouldn't be alive, you know. Yeah, who raised their hand, Bill?
Yeah, I got one. When I first got into real estate in 1969, probably the early 70s, I was driving down Pottery Island Drive, and I had this Ford at that time, and I was thinking, well, I'm broke. I just bought this car. I don't know where I'm going to get the money to make the payments. And I was just kind of, you know, mulling my financial situation over. All of a sudden, I heard kaboom on top of my car. And then the voice said, you'll always have. Don't worry.
You always what?
I will always have.
You will always have?
So I pull off Pottery Island Drive because it scared the crap out of me. And I went and I wanted to see the top of my car because I thought for sure there was a big dent.
Mm-hmm.
No dent, I can't say a calmness, but I was very surprised. I thought maybe a rocket hit or something, but it felt like in the vision I had was a big fist. I guess I just wanted to get my attention and say, shut up and get to work, you know, pump it on your hood.
There was this guy on Coast to Coast just a week or so ago who told this interesting story. He was pretty much, he was raised in the Mormon church and then decided religion was a bunch of phooey and he became an atheist. And he was driving with his girlfriend and they come to this train track and the car stalled on him. The train hit the car. And somehow his girlfriend survived, and he woke up in a field, completely unharmed, about a block away. And he couldn't figure out how he got there, you know, and he was completely unharmed. And that turned him into a believer. He says, well, there's something out there, because that's impossible for me to have been just transported right out of his car into this field. And his girlfriend was badly injured, but she survived. But he was completely unscathed, and so he's been a big believer. And he didn't convert him to Mormonism, but converted him to the idea that there's something out there.
You know? We seem to have a lot of experiences with automobiles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got another one. Other than my truck.
Yeah.
In a snowstorm, trying to get home. We lived in Camas, and it was a blizzard out. I mean, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was like these mini little hurricanes of snow going around me like this. I mean, I was in a real difficult situation, and I knew that I was going to reach a hill that are kind of up the mountainside. There would be a blinking yellow light at the top that would represent the top crest of the hill. And I knew that I there's no way. I had bald tires on this truck. I had to climb that thing in order to get home. And I reached the bottom of it. I kind of gave it some gas to get it going, you know. I saw the little sign of the little car with the squiggle being slick in the snow, you know, like that. And then all of a sudden, the back of the truck went like this. I mean, like a bunch of people piled into the back of the truck. I looked back there, and I'm there. But there was like a ton of weight on my rear wheels.
Did that give you the traction you needed?
Yeah, and then that truck, I put it down in the second. It climbed that hill at exactly 12 miles per hour. No less, no more. Just like on a... like I was on a roller coaster, like that. And my back end was sitting there like... And I get to the top, and the back end goes, eek, level.
You're on your own.
I'm looking back there, what? And I'm there, I'm at the blinking yellow, this guy is in the intersection looking at me. I still don't know what in the holes in the back of my truck that got me up that hill. It gave me the perfect amount of traction to get up that hill.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I've had similar.
No.
Yeah, it's amazing how many interesting stories are related to driving. But we're about out of time. Artie, what's the schedule now?
Okay, well, I gave you 15 minutes to kind of do whatever you need to do on that. If you want to leave around 5:30-ish, we have a reservation at Bonefish Grill at 6:00.